You're listening to Two Dudes, One Disc, where the most sought-after music journalists, the greatest minds in the history of... You really gonna make me read this
Just read it!
Take on the most influential albums of all time. Here's your host, Michael Heidemann, on Two Dudes, One Disc.
All you music theater fans, get ready. Welcome in to a jam-packed episode of Two Dudes, One Disc. Today we take on the masterful musical theater piece with newsmaker, the journalist with the mostest, WGN's Kim Gordon.
Woohoo!
What's going on, Kim?
Nothing. Excited for a little excitement. I'm just so honored that you picked me because I am not really a music aficionado like a lot of the people around here, but
okay.
You know, growing up, I do love a good Broadway show and a good musical and a good Disney tune. So this to me is like taking me back to my teenage years.
And that album that she's talking about is the Rocky Horror Picture Show, the 1975 musical journey of Dr. Frankenfurter, is it?
I believe so.
And it's so awesome because we've been doing this podcast for about a year now, consistently, and no one has gone the musical theater route yet.
I mean, that's the only route I would take because I'm just not versed enough in regular music unless you talk to me about Billy Joel.
Billy Joel, but if you think about it, a lot of the bands and stuff that we listen to are very theatrical themselves, but this is actually a theater version of music. I mean, and to be honest, this album struck me so strongly because a lot of these songs became famous rock songs like throughout the years.
Well, it's true. And the thing is about, you know, Rocky Horror, it stands the test of time because now if you look at musical theater, so many plays now are based around music,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the songs, you know, Mamma Mia based around the songs of ABBA and just, you know, now even so many movies are converted to Broadway shows like The Lion King
mm-hmm.
and Aladdin and Mean Girls. So this is really, you know, before its time a little bit.
Yeah. Well, so let's get into it. Why Rocky Horror Picture Show out of all the albums in the world? What made this album stick out? Because I asked you when you were like, oh, think of one, two, 3 seconds later, you're like, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Let's do this album.
Yeah. Well, this is my teenage. This is for me was my teenage summers because I went to camp, summer mm-hmm. camp for 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be blasting in the girls' cabins.
Okay.
On our cassette tapes, sometimes, you know, 8 tracks. You brought the little boombox with you.
Wow.
And
takes up a lot of space in
the
luggage.
All of my friends were, a good majority of my friends were from Chicago. And I had, you know, this girl from Louisville, Kentucky, I hadn't even heard of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Mm-hmm.
And so they introduced me to Rocky Horror. And then as I got a little older, I would go to the midnight shows, you know, a couple times.
Really?
And, oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So when you were introduced to Rocky Horror Picture Show, were you introduced to the album first or did you see the movie first?
Album first.
Oh.
We would sing it all through camp, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody would play the songs. And then when I, you know, everybody said it was a movie, but I hadn't seen or heard of it. And then when it came to Louisville, you know, I was like, oh, my God, this is great. I have to go see this.
Came to Louisville.
Yeah.
Did you get movies late or something?
Well, I guess we did. I don't know. Or my parents didn't tell me about it. You know, I was like 12 years old at the time.
I guess you're right. So when you were listening to the album, though, this is so funny to me. What was going through your head at the time? What did you think these characters were like when they were singing?
I had no idea. I just loved the music. You know, I had no clue.
Mm-hmm. And the music is really awesome because it is in deep 70s. I mean, we're talking disco is taking over. There's like Led Zeppelin's playing. And then all of a sudden, this really weird rock and roll theater performance of Rocky Horror is just taking the world over by storm. And I was kind of the same way as you. I didn't know what to expect because I heard the album first as well. Then, like, when VH1 was just getting started, they would play this on repeat. Like, it was just, when the channel was just getting started in the 90s, they'd just say, what do we have? We have some content that we need to fill. Rocky Horror Picture Show on repeat for 6 hours. And that's how I got introduced to it.
And I'm telling you, at the time, I'm sure I did not understand what the lyrics were really all about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
So this first song was Science Fiction Double Feature Picture Show. Obviously, you heard it. And it leads into the the performance and the movie. And it's cool because when you go to the theater, they do often do overtures, and they're, you know, every single song meshed together in an orchestral way. But this one just dives right into, it's going to get weird. We have weird lyrics right from the start. They mention who, like Gordon Lightfoot or something like that, I think.
I don't know. It's been so long since I'm going to be excited to see what I remember and what I don't.
Yeah. So, but I was saying, like, the way that they take you through the story, just like you would in a play, because that's what it is.
Right. We're and then look at Susan Sarandon.
I know. So let's get to the next song. Damn it, Janet.
So please don't tell me to can it.
Janet.
I've something to say, and that's damn it, Janet. I love you.
Who is that? A Baldwin? Who is the?
I don't know.
The main guy? I can't remember. No. It's I know who it is. It's another. It's a different guy. It's Barry Bostwick.
Oh, Barry Bostwick.
Mm-hmm.
What else was he in?
I think he was in. He was a big 1980s actor, I believe, too. And this was one of his first films, I think. And obviously Susan Sarandon. I almost forgot that she was in it.
Yeah.
Because she's such a big star now, and you don't think about her humble beginnings in this weird, quirky theater performance or movie. And this is a great song. See, a little peek behind the scenes. Here at Two Dudes, One Disc, we get to watch the music videos that are often more fun than
all right, why is it two dudes? It should be today. It should be one dude, one dame.
I like that. Two dudes, one dame. Okay. One dude, one dame.
Yeah.
One dude, one dame. Well, the reason I changed it, because the first inception of the podcast was called Two Guys, One Album.
Okay.
And then I was like, to make it more inclusive, I thought dudes kind of expanded everybody.
Right.
And it rhymed with, and it's it well, disc.
All right. I'll go with dudes, disc. All right.
I know. I like dame.
I'll go
One
with
dame,
it.
One disc. Oh, shoot. Now I'm calling myself a dame. I'm all lost here. But
it doesn't matter, especially when you're watching Rocky Horror. You find out it really doesn't matter what gender you are.
That's a good. That's why
you
you're the news. The
there
news
you
anchor.
Go.
What is your official title, by the way, here at WGN?
I am afternoon anchor reporter. Afternoon anchor / reporter.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were the news liaison head, king of the news.
Oh, I wish I was, but no.
Well, this is awesome.
When John Williams becomes king, I'll be princess, because the queen, news queen will always be Judy Pilak.
That's
so
right.
I can never take that role or that title, but
oh, Judy.
News princess will be okay.
Yes. So diving back into this song, you mentioned the fact that gender roles don't really play a part in this film, and that's true. I mean, now today, 2019, we've gone through many inceptions of it. You know, it's kind of a conflict and a controversy surrounding laws and stuff, but man, if there was a movie that just waved the flag of just, you know, inclusiveness and just
being who
yourself,
you are no matter what.
Yeah, being who you are no matter what. It was a Rocky Horror Picture Show. And
absolutely.
Gosh, dang it. That's the first song in the movie. And it's so catchy and just so weird, because it's, you go, damn it, Janet. You know, perfect wordplay. And then tying in with that Janet. Like that weird kind of, what is it?
Because he looks so nerdy,
kind of
you know, you don't expect him.
And it's about them going to the chapel and getting married. Let's dive into the next song, Over at Frankenstein's Place. It's funny because I have seen this movie countless times. Oh, yes. But I was worried that I'd miss a few of these songs, and it's cool to go through the full album. Rocky Horror Picture Show, again, like I said, 1975 music horror comedy film produced by Fox. It's actually based on the 1973 stage production of the Rocky Horror Show, which was written by, what's his face, Richard O'Brien, that guy. Did you know Richard O'Brien? Did you
No.
have any interest in...
Maybe if you tell me who he is. I never know names when it comes to music, and then people say, oh, you know, he did blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I loved him in that. this is so cool, this album, because now listening to it as opposed to just watching the movie when everything is so seamless, you can see the influence it makes from going through with Grease. A lot of Grease tendencies go into this, with a lot of these flowy kind of verses and harmonies that you didn't really find in the 1960s or pretense, when all you had to go, you'd go to the theater and see Kiss Me, Kate or Carousel.
Right.
And then that was all you got. And this really turned the page as far as that goes. This one, is this one of your favorite musicals, by the way? Are you into musicals?
Oh, I love musicals. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, I'm actually, I love old school musicals. Mm-hmm. I like new musicals. I'm actually going to New York soon, and I'm going to see Oklahoma.
You're going to see Oklahoma?
Yes. So, because I haven't actually, I love the music, and we used to do plays at camp, so we did Oklahoma, but I've never actually seen the real Oklahoma.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm excited to see
what camp was this that you were at? What was it called?
I went to Camp Ramon, Conover, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And it's a Jewish camp, so we would do theater, and we would do the plays in Hebrew. So
really?
Yeah. It was very cool.
Oklahoma and Hebrew,
Oklahoma and Hebrew, Mary Poppins, Wizard of Oz.
So
I mean, they still continue to do it.
Same concept, but just in a different...
just different language. Yeah.
Wow.
It's very cool.
Do you speak Hebrew fluently?
No. I learned a little, but, you know, the big parts always went to the kids who spoke fluent Hebrew, or their parents were Israeli, or they lived in Israel part of the time, because some of us American
Ringers.
Kids. Yeah, exactly.
Ringers.
We needed them.
It's not fair.
We needed them. I was fine to be in the chorus.
So were you always in the chorus? Did you have a big role? Like, what was your moment to shine
camp? I was always a chorus girl.
How often did you go to this camp? Every year?
Every year for 6 summers.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, being at summer camp was actually a really big part of my life, too, because I grew up in theater. I went to something called CYT, which is Christian Youth Theater. We did all of our plays in Christian.
Do you speak Christian?
I do speak Christian. but it was so important growing up and getting involved with theater, because, you know, you're a kid and you're like, I have all this energy and these weird tendencies. Where do I put this all? And they're like, just go on the stage and act like a fool.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'm down.
It's fun. Yeah. And there was always a spot for everybody. Not everybody, you know, wanted to be in the spotlight. So you could do tech, or you could work the, you know, work
makeup,
props, or, you know, costumes. Yeah. There was lots of things everybody could do.
Did you always see yourself on the stage, or did you try to do some of that?
I tried to do some lighting one summer because I thought it was too cool to be on stage. But, you know.
Well, you wanted to wear all black.
Yeah, exactly. And they had this big light tower you could climb up, so I just thought that would be really cool to be at the top of that light tower.
Oh, nice. That was your big part of the summer. You're like, Mom and Daddy, you'll never guess what I did.
I've been in the light tower.
Climb the light tower. So you went there for all these years. Do you remember, like, your favorite play that you did when you were at this camp? What is it called again?
Camp Ramop.
Ramop.
My favorite one was South Pacific.
Oh.
Because we had this really crazy, fun guy, and he, like, came out in the coconut bra and the Hawaiian skirt and the whole thing, and... It's just, it was great. It was really fun because you worked really hard on these plays. You had basically you were at camp for 8 weeks, but they did, each different age group did a play. So if you were at the beginning, you basically maybe had 2 weeks to put this thing together, because they would start the plays maybe 2 to 3 weeks into camp and then play them. So sometimes, you know, it was a lot of work.
How are you supposed to put Guys and Dolls on in 2 weeks?
They did do Guys and Dolls.
Well, I think that there's a few that every school, I think, is required to do by law.
Yeah, exactly.
And Guys and Dolls, that was actually my big moment in theater during high school. But let's get into the next song before
we
dive in.
Right.
And very fittingly, Sweet Transvestite. So they're, again, in this point of the play... They are just getting into the house. They see this. They see everybody in these colorful costumes, all passed out, obviously from a party or something. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. And of course, we're talking about Janet.
You know, and the fun thing about Rocky Horror is that all the people that came to the movie dressed up, and all the props that people brought, you know, to throw at the screen. And
yeah, so how many?
Do you remember that?
You know, I've never been to a midnight screening. I've heard about them since I was at least 5 years old. So what's that like? What's the experience of going to a midnight screening?
Oh, it's just so cool. I mean, people are dressed up as all the characters, and, you know, I remember, like, standing in line waiting to get in at midnight, and I remember you brought, like, burnt toast to throw, like, during a toast, and trying to remember the other things that there's a lot of other things that people brought, but I can't remember. The burnt toast I remember right off the bat, but I don't remember some of the other stuff that everybody brought to throw.
Were you wearing like fishnet stockings and doing like the makeup and the hair and everything?
I didn't the first couple times I went because I just didn't know exactly what I was getting myself into. But
you were still in like lighting mode.
Yeah.
You're just like, I'm going to climb and be
cool.
Yeah,
I'm just going to go observe this.
And then what? When you finally got into it?
Yeah, we dressed up a little, but nothing compared to some other people who were really into it.
Some people really get into it, and that's I love more than anything. It's just how awesome is just fanfare for in any case.
Yeah,
like whether you're into this movie or you're into, you know, the Cubs or the Sox. I mean, just going and supporting something is such a wonderful thing, and this is just a fun night. So, how many years have you gone to the midnight showings?
Oh, I went quite a bit all through high school. I haven't been since. It's been a while, but I'm sure they still have them.
Oh, yeah. Still to this day, I did a little research, and they're going strong all over the country, in fact. I think they probably do one at the Music Box, too, here in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Year, I think.
I should do that for one of my neighborhood news. Let people know when it is. I'm going to look it up.
So you grew up, like, kind of doing theater and everything. When did you want to get into, like, news, and when did that transition make
shape? You know, I was always a news junkie. I always loved being informed and knowing what news was about. I thought I was a good writer, and I didn't actually get into the news business until my early 30s. Mm-hmm. I kind of did things the opposite of a lot of people because I have a marketing degree, actually.
Wow.
And I got married and stayed home with my kids for a while. Mm-hmm. And then when my youngest was ready to go to school, I'm like, it's time for me to do something.
Yeah.
So I thought I was a good writer. My brother worked in radio at the time. And I asked him if I could maybe talk to the news director because I wanted to learn the business and see what it was all about and see if there's anything interesting, you know, if there was a role for somebody to learn the business.
Yeah.
So I interned at WHAS Radio in Louisville for 2 years and learned the business from the bottom up. And now 20 plus years later, here I am.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But that's cool because you had a dream and you thought, well, you know what? I might as well just try it.
Right. And it's never,
what are you gonna lose?
You know, and just because you're in your early 30s or even, you know, older doesn't mean you still can't have dreams and they can come true. You
know,
you don't have to go to school for exactly. Sometimes people make changes in life and that's great and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Follow your dream.
Oh my gosh. That is exactly the case in a lot of people's lives where they think, well, I can't do that because that's what Kim does, or that's the dream that Kim wanted to follow. I could never do that because I'm not Kim, or I'm not this person. There is no rules in life. Like, there is no time limit. There's no anything. You could get into radio when you're 60 years old if you wanted
Absolutely.
To. I mean, you got to work on your voice a little bit, and you got to, you know, get your act together a tad. But you can do whatever you want. I mean, I was the same way. When I got into radio, I was going to school to become a teacher, and then I wanted to get into radio. That was always my dream. I wanted to get into media somehow, you know. And I lived in Utah at the time, and I was going to school, finishing school out there. And I thought, how the heck am I going to get into NPR or a radio station? I know no one from radio. I don't even know where they exist. And I just applied to every single job that I could. And then it wasn't until I was working at a bank for a year at Citibank, shout out Citibank as a banker and a teller, that I was like, you know what? This job is not my path. And it took like the year to be bored to really dive into radio. And then WGN's Kristen Decker interviewed me and gave me a job as an intern at the station, which is pretty awesome.
I think I kind of remember that.
Yeah, that was a good time.
How many years ago was that then?
That was like 6 years. It's going on like 6 and a half.
Yeah.
Jeez, man, I'm so old.
Oh, trust me. Talk about old. I've been here over 13 years now.
Wow.
So
many, many transitions.
Yeah, a lot of transitions and...
So are the transitions much like the sweet transvestite from Transsexuals?
Yeah, a little bit. No.
Let's get to the next song, The Time Warp, which by far...
This is the famous one. Everybody loves it.
Oh, man.
You know, everybody in the movie theater would be dancing right now, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, this is so funny because... In the 1970s, knowing and like putting out a dance, like a set dance, was the thing. And this was such a fun day. I don't really know how to do the time warp. Do you know how to do the time warp?
No, I don't. But I bet we could Google it and learn it in a second.
That's the good thing. It was probably a little bit harder in the back in the day when they didn't have Google. You just have to watch the movie on repeat, I guess.
Yeah.
This is the song that I think everyone is introduced to this movie about.
But look how cheesy and fun that is.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, here they go. They're teaching it. We can just do it right now.
It's funny because it's a professor telling you how to do the time warp.
It's great. Do the time warp begin?
I remember just watching this as a kid and being so enthralled by it because nobody is on time with the dancing. The dancing is still
no. You can see how, you know, B movie, C movie it is, but it just that makes it even funnier, you know?
You know, it's funny because I on a constant rotation, these movies were going on. It was Grease. It was Rocky Horror Picture Show. Do you remember when Johnny Depp was in Crybaby?
No, that movie? I don't remember that one.
He had like the long greaser hair to the side, and it was a musical as well. Very B movies were the thing at this time. John Waters was taking a foot, and I don't know. When you first saw the movie, who'd you go with?
Oh, I went with my friends.
Your friends?
Just, yeah. Girlfriends.
So you finally got to see the movie that you've been singing the songs to the entire time. When you walked out of those doors, were you like, what the hell?
Oh my God, this is amazing. We were all so pumped and excited. But it's really funny because, you know, I was introduced to it with all my camp friends, but I don't think I ever saw it with my camp friends. I saw it with my, you know, friends who I grew up with at home.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, I don't think we ever saw Rocky Horror.
Well, there's still time, like we just said.
I know, I have Shikalam.
Do you still stay in touch with your friends?
I do. I do. I have a lot of friends I stay in touch with.
And do you guys like meet up, maybe do the time warp together?
Yeah, we do the time warp and throw toast at each other. Yes. And no.
Who's your best friend from that camp?
Oh, wow.
Like, was there a person that was like, Kim, welcome to camp. It's great to see you again this year. I need to show you the CD.
You'll never remember that, but everybody just kind of jammed. You know, everybody played. Rocky Horror was big. Mm-hmm. Billy Joel was big. Mm-hmm. What else was really big back in the 70s that we liked? Trying to think. Oh, Simon and Garfunkel. A lot of Simon and Garfunkel playing.
Was that so? If you were going to go back and look at, you know, the albums that you kind of grew up with for this podcast, it was Rocky Horror, Simon Garfunkel, like Billy Joel.
Elton John.
Those are the kind of guys that you like. Most of them are very theatrical.
Yeah.
Yeah. You weren't into like the hard rockers like Motorhead or anything?
No, I wasn't into hard rock, but okay. I did love Seasons in the Sun.
Oh.
Three Dog Night. Love that song.
Oh, man. Joy, we had fun.
Yeah. We had Seasons in the Sun. I was pretty much into, like, just pop rock. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't really a metalhead.
Has it stayed consistently through your whole life? You kind of like the same kind of stuff? Do you ever go back and listen to some new music?
I've turned very country in my old age.
Oh, okay.
That's love country music. But I grew up in Kentucky, so I always, you know, I did love, like, the Kenny Rogers and the Dolly Partons, mm-hmm. but, you know, they wouldn't allow me to play that in my cabin at camp. Those girls were not into country.
Oh, it wasn't, like, the cool thing?
Yeah, no, but I always love country. I've seen Kenny Rogers in concerts many times, him and Dolly Parton. Oh, yeah.
Man.
And I love going to Nashville.
You've seen Dolly and Kenny on stage
together. I saw them together.
Wow.
In Louisville. Yeah, long time ago.
Oh, my gosh. That's like
that was before Kenny had his plastic surgery and he looked like Kenny Rogers.
Mm-hmm. He had. I haven't seen him with his plastic surgery. Did things change?
Ooh, not good.
Not too good.
No, not too good.
All right, let's dive into the next song, "Sword of Democles." This is when they meet the creature. And the reason we're not really diving into the whole story about Rocky Horror, you just got to see it for yourself.
Yeah,
it's too
you
hard
do.
To explain. And they meet the blonde-haired monster that Dr. Frankenfurter had created. And this is where they meet him, and he's just lifting weights and showing how muscular he is. So you're talking about how you are really into country music, though.
Yeah, I do like country music now.
Is there a certain country artist that you've been listening to more that's, like, from the last 10 years or so?
Well, I mean, I like it all, but I like Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
I like, there's these two new guys and I can never remember the name. Somebody and Shay, I think.
Oh, yeah. Shay and, oh, Ty and Shay, is that it? No. Shay and Steve?
Something, I don't know. I can't remember their names. I'm sorry. But,
Dan and Shay. There we go.
I love them. I love Dan and Shay. you know, I love Keith Urban. I love,
you know, the basis of almost all music, and I know I'll probably get some letters on this, but it is country and blues. Country and blues, good dates back to everything.
I love the Zac Brown Band, too.
Oh, give me a break.
Chicken Fried, favorite, one of my favorites.
Holy smokes, that's a good song.
Yeah, it's such a good song.
Like, anything that gets your toe tapping.
Yeah, and if you don't tap your toe in that song, you're dead.
Yeah, who are you? Who are these people that aren't tapping their toe? I don't get it. And the thing is, I stayed away from country music for a long time in my life, and recently I've been getting really into it, too. I thought I was going to be a punk rock guy through and through for all my days. I'm like, screw that country music, I don't need any of it. But now, just learning and seeing how great of guitar players most of these guitar musicians are, these country musicians are, it's just phenomenal to see the amount of expertise that goes into these solos.
It's unbelievable. Well, mm-hmm. And a couple years ago, we went to Nashville and we went to the Grand Ole Opry, and mm-hmm. you just don't know who's going to perform when you're there. The night we were there, Charlie Daniels was performing.
Wow.
They sang Devil Went Down to Georgia. He did his whole fiddle thing. I mean, the guy's almost 80, over 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. I mean, he brought down the house. It was incredible. One of the greatest music nights of my life.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You got to see Charlie Daniels.
Charlie Daniels. It was really amazing.
You know, I interviewed Charlie Daniels 2 years ago over the phone, and he mentioned the fact that he loved WGN because he used to have a really good connection with Steve and Johnny.
Oh.
You remember those guys?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but I mean... one of the biggest country legends of all time, and then it's tied to WGN, and you got to see him.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I can't believe you got to see Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah, she was amazing.
She's my, like, white whale at the moment, my blonde whale.
Yeah, I love Dolly.
Ugh.
Plus, just beyond talent, she just seems like a wonderful person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Like
Yeah.
She
could be a real
sweet
diva, and she's not.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she is, but she doesn't appear that way to me.
Mm-mm. And she's supposed to be really tiny. I went to...
really little.
She is?
Well, not so little on top, but little waist.
She tips over at times.
Yeah.
I saw her costumes at the Grammy Museum when I went to Los Angeles, and just seeing... I didn't know she was that small, and she looks like an hourglass.
Yeah, she does. Basically. And speaking of costumes, mm-hmm. I just saw Kacey Musgraves, who is another new country music star that I really like. And they just were saying that if anybody's going to Nashville anytime soon, there's going to be a Kacey Musgraves exhibit at the Country Music Hall of... It's the Country Music Museum downtown Nashville. If you've never been, it's great.
You know, this is funny. I'm going to Nashville next week.
You need to go.
I will be there.
And also go to the Johnny Cash Museum, which is fantastic.
Is that downtown too?
It's it's in the same area.
Jeez, Nashville and Chicago are the two greatest.
Nashville's
music cities.
Fantastic. I just loved it.
Hey, did you spend more than just a vacation there ever? Did you ever live there?
No. Well, actually, I was born in Bowling Green, Kentucky, which is close to Nashville.
Oh, okay.
So my parents would go to Nashville because it's only about 45 minutes away. But mm-hmm. I was little; I don't remember going there.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently, I liked it when I was two.
Well, that's where you got your country
there
roots,
you go.
Right?
That's right.
Let's dive into the next song, Hot Patootie, Bless My Soul. Is this when Meatloaf comes in?
I think so.
Oh, come on. I love Meatloaf, too.
Me, too.
Yes, this
Here
is.
Here he is.
Hot Patootie, Bless My Soul. Like, the amount of wind that goes into every lyric that he sings is just incredible. I just got to look at him real quick. Oh, yeah.
Look how young he was. Wow.
Wow. So you talked about growing up in Kentucky. Man, what a voice. He kind of looks like Steve Dahl with that hat on.
A little bit.
So you grew up in Kentucky with your mom and your dad. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have a brother and a sister.
What are their names?
Lyle and Hillary.
Lyle and Hillary. Oh, your brother's name is Lyle
My
Gordon?
My brother's name is Lyle Gordon.
Talk about a sweet country name.
Yeah, Lyle Gordon.
So when you were growing up, what was that first album that your brother or your mom or dad put on and you're like, wow, this music thing's pretty neat?
Oh, wow. Well, it was probably my grandfather, actually.
Okay.
Because he loved to play music for us, and he loved to sing and play Frank Sinatra for us.
Oh, yeah.
He grew up, obviously he lived in Kentucky, but he grew up in New Jersey, so he was a Frank kind of a guy.
Mm-hmm. So was that probably the first music that you grew
That's
up listening
kind of
to?
What I remember, like, if I would say my family introduced me to, it mm-hmm. would probably be Frank Sinatra.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's pretty fitting. I mean, he's one of the greatest singers of all time.
Oh, yeah.
If you're growing up in New Jersey.
You know, he was a Jersey boy, so he loved it. And he really sang more music to us than my parents. My parents weren't that into music, but my grandfather loved music.
So your parents weren't into music, but why'd they send you to that theater camp?
Well, it wasn't just a theater camp. It was an everything camp.
Okay.
Just summer camp. But theater was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But did
your parents kind of know that you had a creative soul, like, from the beginning?
Oh, yeah. They knew that I... And my mom is very creative mm-hmm. and an excellent writer, so I feel like I get some of my traits
from
the news business from her. And both of my parents are teachers, so...
Oh, they are?
Yeah. So we had to learn to, dot our I's, finish our sentence with a period, double space, comma, where it all goes. when your parents are teachers, it's got to be right.
That's a very, very good quality of your parents. I remember when I would bring my parents math problems, they'd be like, all right, 2 minus, what? Somebody's calling me in the kitchen?
Yeah, well, math, no. My mom was a reading specialist, and mm-hmm. my dad's a history teacher.
Okay.
So, math, not our strong suit.
Not the strong suit?
Yeah.
So then where do they live?
They live in Kentucky.
Oh, they still live in Kentucky?
They do, yes. And my sister actually lives in Israel, and my brother lives here in the North Shore.
Wow.
Yeah. And my grandmother,
family.
Mimi, who's mm-hmm. almost 93, still lives in Louisville.
Mimi still? Oh, my God. So do they live in, like, the hills, like in the woods?
No, they live in the city, Louisville.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty
Louisville's
nice.
A great city. It's a nice, medium-sized city. It's beautiful.
I've never been.
It's good. A lot of good, obviously, if you like bourbon, it's the place to go. Horse racing and great bluegrass music in Kentucky.
See, that's somewhere I could, like, go and retire, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. You would love it.
Oh, yeah, this is where he also kills Meatloaf in the end of this song.
Poor
it's
Meatloaf.
A quick scene.
He's in, he's out.
In and out. Well, I love that. I love the fact that you got to grow up with such great music and such a different, diverse family life, and then, come to be the newsmaker. So what does your sister do in Israel?
My sister works for a... insurance company, but she does all of their English writing and social media posts.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Man, that'd be so much fun to learn.
Even though she lives in Israel, she speaks English all day, every day at work.
Does she listen to Rocky Horror and Elton
John? Oh yeah,
John
she loved Rocky Horror. Yeah, she really liked Rocky Horror.
What about Lyle?
I don't remember so much if he liked Rocky Horror.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, so the other thing about this, just diving back into the film now and the play soundtrack, there's a lot of things that Rocky Horror covers. It's a lot of sexual undertones. And it was the 70s. It was freewheeling coming out of the 60s. This is a very open musical. And that dives into the next song, Touch It, Touch It, Touch Me.
This was one of my favorites.
This is like a tongue-in-cheek version of the Grease version of, what is it? What's that song called? When they were in the bedroom and it's like, oh, I'm just a, I don't drink or smoke.
Oh, yeah. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't swear, I don't wrap my hair. Oh my gosh, what is it?
You're like, I didn't come here to be quizzed on my musical theater knowledge.
But I do know Grease, like mm-hmm. backwards and forwards. But this was one of our favorite, touch me.
I want to be dirty. What's a great, great
people don't want to hear us singing it.
And then she's going with the monster. And, oh, man. Yeah. Janet, no. This is when Kim sings, by the way.
Touch me. I want to be dirty.
Susan Sarandon. It's funny because she has such a very, very interesting life that she's lived. She's been in so many great films, and now she's investing like ping pong.
I know. Have you ever been to Spin? Is her place?
Spin, yeah. I have been to Spin. It's really fun. I love
it. It is fun. I've been there.
Were you in the tournament that WGN had?
No, I'm not a good. Oh, no, I would never play Bill Leff. Are you kidding me?
he's probably the best ping pong player, obviously, in this building.
I think, sure. Probably within blocks.
So let's dive into, how about a little bit of the 40 things you didn't know about the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay.
We'll only go over like one or two.
All right.
Or three. The film was shot in less than 2 months. This whole thing.
No, but does it really surprise you?
No, the dance moves itself. I mean, we're kind of going over that. Most of the original stage cast actually appeared in the music version, the movie version. Tim Curry, Richard O'Brien, Patrick Quinn, Nell Campbell all appeared in the original stage production and then went to star in the film.
Interesting.
Yeah, the castle was, I guess, not very, very friendly to be filming in. It was wet, cold, miserable. He said that it had no working toilets for the cast to use. Man, always wet, leaky roof. I mean, it was the 70s and it was a castle. It's probably their fault.
Yeah.
Here's the coolest thing that I found about, though. Mick Jagger actually wanted to play Frank back in the day.
Oh, that's interesting.
The Rolling Stones singer was asked to play Dr. Frankenfurter in the film after seeing the stage production, but I think that Tim Curry was obviously the best choice for that role.
I wonder what that would have done, though, for the whole thing had Mick Jagger been in it.
Do you think he would still have, like, the cool guy persona if he was...
Well, I don't know. It just, you know, it would have put it more on the map much more quickly.
That's a good point. But then I don't know if it would reach cult status.
I know that's
what
I was going to say. It probably wouldn't have because maybe...
It had already gone in and been like, cool. So, like, the fact that it...
Because he was already very famous at that point. Mm-hmm. Susan Sarandon wasn't. So the fact that she's in it now is cool. But, you know, if somebody said, oh, well, let's go see this Mick Jagger movie, it would have been more about a Mick Jagger movie than it would be the cult following Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It would have been all about Mick.
I think that you just found...
But there are the big lips. Maybe that was, you know...
The big lips. We're talking about, like, the front of the album cover, the front of the movie poster, those big famous lips with the white teeth.
Yep.
A classic, iconic image, which, no doubt, is the Rolling Stones logo, too.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think you touched on something really interesting, though, about the essence of cool and what makes things cool. The fact that Rocky Horror was able to reach an audience that didn't think of themselves as like the cool guys in school or the cool girls in whatever in school as well. And then they were able to connect with this and then grow it over time. And it became like a word of mouth thing rather than just getting.
Well, and if you think about it, they were the people that were absolutely total opposite of cool. The people that felt like they didn't fit in.
Yeah, and then you can see it in the cast. There aren't like traditionally beautiful people in this play. The lead is a nerd. I mean, granted, he's a really good looking nerd, and the female lead is like kind of like a closeted virgin, you know, very cloistered woman. Granted, very beautiful. She's Susan Sarandon. But then the jock guy is the dumb guy who can't even talk. He's the creature.
Right, and then you have transvestites.
And you have transvestites. And the people who are dancing, you know, are off tune and out of sync and everything. It's cool to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's what people were so drawn to.
You know, and
to
I think looking back on it now, we can appreciate that, you know, everybody is somebody. And when you're in high school and, you know, you have all those... The cool people, the nerds, the ones that don't fit in, the geeks. I mean, it's just so sad that people get labeled because you can move on and you don't have to have that label. And if you know.
Trust me. I know. I know. What let's dive into the next song, Once in a While. So what kind of group did you fit into in high school when you were back in the day?
Oh, wow.
Lunch table did you sit at?
I wasn't cool, but I wasn't nerd. I was kind of in between. I could kind of go either way, but you know, I was one of those people that just try to be independent.
Yeah, I could see that.
So I didn't want to have a label on me.
Mm-hmm.
But I could float with either one.
Did you play sports?
I played not high school sports. I mean, I did, you know, worked out, did big aerobics at the time, and but I played a little softball and basketball, but just recreational, not high school.
Okay, see?
And I play golf.
Oh, and you play golf, yes.
Yeah.
Because I remember in high school, it was weird, because if for some reason, if you were in a sport that just made you sporty and cool, no matter if you were good or bad or in between.
Right, you were on the team, you were cool.
And then I remember thinking and knowing that in high school, and I'm like, well, I could be in sports and I could be on the baseball team. And I loved the sports, and I played baseball throughout football, did track. But I really gravitated towards the theater program, which I thought was just so much more fun because you'd go there and goof off with your friends and you build like better friendships there because you're like singing and you're just letting down your guard a little bit more than you would be if you're playing football, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it was a good time.
And the theater people all stuck together.
They all did.
Yeah.
They all did. They stuck together. The theater parties afterwards were always legendary in every single school that you get to. And it's the coolest thing is, no matter how good or bad you are, when you're doing the show, you were like the biggest star that there is on stage, right?
Yeah. You were cool.
Yeah. I wasn't cool. I need to get that out there.
Right, you were cool for a week.
I was cool for a week. So this next song, you know, now you can see how it's just kind of lacing in between. And much like any album, it takes you on a journey. I mean, the greatest songs of all time are all narratives. So it's seeing how Rocky Horror takes you on this journey. It's cool to like sit around and dive into this movie, which, by the way, budgeted for $1.4 million, made $140.2 million.
Wow.
Worldwide. Still making money to this. It's still making money to this day. That's... Can you think of another movie that people go and see at midnight?
No.
Like every single year?
No, but you know, on the lines of Rocky Horror, I still want to do Sound of Music sing-along. I haven't yet to do that. That would be a blast, too.
The Sound of Music?
Oh, yeah. They have a sing-along.
Really?
People come dressed just like Rocky Horror, but they come dressed in, you know, Sound of Music clothes.
In, like, European, like, gulags and schlocks and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, and, you know.
Shorts and...
Yeah, all that stuff.
Overalls?
Yeah.
So,
Lederhosen?
What is your favorite theater performance?
Musical. Oh, Sound of Music, hands
down. Sound of Music?
I love it.
My grandpa loved that musical,
love
too.
Love it. I'm still trying to get Wendy to see it. She won't.
Oh.
She's not a Julie Andrews fan, which I'm a big Julie Andrews fan.
Not a Julie Andrews fan?
Yeah, she hasn't seen Mary Poppins, Sound of Music.
Oh, my
gosh.
We're
working on her.
Yeah, you got to get on that. One of the greatest singers of all time. And then...
Oh, yeah. And then she lost her voice
lost
after
her
having
voice.
Surgery.
Isn't that incredible how, like, yeah, life is like that? You know, you could have the most beautiful voice, and then one day you're just like, it's gone.
That's right. Don't take it for granted.
Rose Tints My World. We're diving back into it.
Say that I remember this one.
Oh, is this when the Rocky Horror's female counterpart sings to him? Or no? Oh, no, this is when Rocky's diving into some stuff. You know what? This is funny because I dove into this thinking I knew a lot about Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I'm finding more and more that I need to rewatch
it. We need to get a midnight showing, and we just need to go show up and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing, too, about Rocky Horror is when you go to a midnight show, you're so entrenched, well, not entrenched, you're so excited about watching all the people participating, mm-hmm, that you kind of don't watch the movie.
Yeah.
You know, because everything, there's so much going on around you,
mm-hmm,
you know, so.
Because that goes back to the fanfare, like being around people that are like into the same stuff you are.
Right.
It's a blast. And it's cool to like to dive into that kind of stuff and live in a city like Chicago that where you can go out and do it like any random day.
I mean, right.
We have the most random stuff here in Chicago.
Yes, we do.
Sometimes. All right. So you're in camp. You're sitting around listening to this CD. You're hanging out with your friends. I guess like what did you do like for fun back in the day?
Oh, Michael, we had some serious jacks tournaments going on to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Jacks?
Oh yeah, we
What's
played jacks?
Jacks.
You've never played jacks?
Is that when you like bounce the ball?
Ball and catch the jacks?
Really?
Oh yeah, I'm showing my age.
That's...
Jax was awesome.
Go on about this mysterious Jax.
Oh, I was good at that.
That the legend foretells.
So the thing is that when you're at camp, you're playing on a cabin floor, so it's a wood floor. So you have to put baby powder down so that your hand would swipe smoothly over the wood floor without getting splinters in it.
Oh, yeah. It's safety first.
Yes.
Okay. So
So we would have long Jax tournaments.
How long does the game last?
Oh, I haven't played in years, but it just depended on how long, you know, you would pick up one, then you pick up two, then you pick up three, then you pick up four, and you keep going till people miss, and, you know, we got really good over an 8-week period. So Jax was big. You know, you would write letters home to your family when we were playing music, because usually the music was either when you're getting dressed in the morning, when mm-hmm. you have a cleanup, mm-hmm. you know, or like rest time when you're just kind of hanging out,
yeah,
because the rest of the time you're busy. You have activities. You're going to, you know, sports. You're going to theater. You're going to dinner. You're going to lunch. You're going to breakfast. You're going to different things throughout the day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they had some downtime.
Okay. Well, let's go back to Jaxter real quick.
All right.
So you're sitting in the
cabin. I only
like
to play with metal jacks. I did not like plastic jacks. Putting that out there.
Well, obviously they need weight to them, right?
Right, a little bit. I didn't like the plastic ones.
So you would go, is it a 1v1? Or are we talking like,
No, you could play in a round. You could play one, you could play two, you could play up to, you know, however many you wanted.
Yeah?
Just takes longer when you have a lot of people playing.
Okay, and how long was this camp? You said it was 8 weeks?
8 weeks.
Holy, by the way, that's a long time for somebody to go away to camp.
A lot of kids go away, especially like North Shore kids, go away for 8 weeks. I used to tell my parents that, can I just come home for 8 weeks and visit you and I'll go to camp for the rest of the year? Obviously, that wasn't happening, but I love camp.
Yeah, it's a blast. I think, so our camp experiences were a little different. So I went to theater camp at Northern Illinois University, but mine was just a week. And I thought that was a long time.
Yeah.
Like I remember calling my mom and my dad. You're talking about writing letters home. And I did write a letter home. And I called my mom and dad. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? This is Mike. And they're like, hey, sorry, Mike, we were watching the game. We can't really talk. And I'm like, don't you guys miss me? And they're like, it's been 3 days, man. Like, this is our break.
Yeah, exactly. No, my parents used to come and visit me because they had visitors day like halfway through. So my parents would always come up and, you know, all the parents would bring all the kids, all the junk food they wanted and, you know, hang out and meet everybody else's parents.
Oh, see, that's so nice. Did you like have a stash of like junk food?
Oh, yeah. Well, we weren't supposed to, but everybody did.
Oh, nice. What was your go-to snack back then?
Well, we get fudge from this place in Eagle River called Tremblay's and everybody always was able to work contraband fudge because you weren't really supposed to have it in the cabin because of, you know, obviously mice and bugs but everybody had their little stash of Tremblay's and, you know, licorice, Jolly Ranchers.
This is in Wisconsin, correct?
In Wisconsin.
And you went to Eagle River to get this? It was right by Eagle River?
It's near Eagle River.
So I spent some time in Eagle River before. My uncle lived there for a little bit.
Oh, Tremblay's fudge. You never went to Tremblay's?
I know. I never went to Tremblay's. It's funny though because
still there.
Now I see the area in my head of where you stayed. It is quite the wooded.
It's beautiful.
Desolate area. Not desolate. It's beautiful. But it's a wooded Wisconsin
area. Right, yes. It's set back in the middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere. The lake is, Eagle River is right there. Yeah. And we took a boat on Eagle River one day. And I was like 12 years old with my mom and my dad, well, with my dad and my brother. And we took the boat out with my uncle. Anyway, the boat breaks down in the middle of Eagle River. We hadn't eaten all day.
Oh, my goodness.
We needed to paddle back. Me, my uncle, my dad, and my brother.
Did the Coast Guard come get you?
There was no Coast Guard.
Oh, wow.
The motor breaks down. We just troll all the way through.
Oh, so it was a small lake.
It was a small lake. Well, I mean, no, it was big. It took us like an hour and a half to get back.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I remember it being so cold because the water was just splashing on our face because it looked like the perfect storm with that George Clooney movie. And by the time we got back, I remember my dad never, ever let us get McDonald's, ever. But then once we got back and we were all so cold and hungry, and he's like, pig out, guys. You can get whatever you want.
Get whatever you want.
And we got two double cheeseburgers. Like, as a young kid, that was like the most
It was probably
food.
The worst day of your life. But now looking back on it, wasn't it so great?
It was great.
It's a good childhood memory. But you know, God everybody's okay. And, you know, you were back and you were safe. And now it's like a cool memory.
But every time that somebody mentions Eagle River, I get this chill down my spine and start craving hamburgers. All right, let's dive into the next
one. I don't even think there is a McDonald's in Eagle River.
Yeah, probably not. Probably to go a little bit out of town.
Probably Rhinelander is the closest.
Burgers. So speaking about going home, the next song, I'm Going Home, which Rocky Horror takes a little spin at the end of the movie. And we find out that Rocky's an alien or something.
I don't even remember.
I know there's a spaceship and it was...
Not a human.
Come down to,
yeah.
It wasn't a human, which... I think, you know, it was, now we see it as a cop-out when movies do that, but back then it was probably like, wow, that is great writing.
Yeah.
That is excellent, excellent writing. So you're trying to, I know that you're a very creative person. What kind of stuff do you do to stay creative on your toes? Do you go to see movies? Do you still go and see those shows?
You know.
What's life like outside of the newsroom with Kim Gordon?
Well, I do love to play golf. I love being outside. I love to exercise. I love to walk. I'll walk miles and miles and miles. I love to ski. I'm outdoorsy.
Ski.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm outdoorsy. You know, but I love going to Broadway shows. We have a subscription for Broadway in Chicago.
Oh, nice.
So I do that. I like to go. I sometimes go to the shows at North Light Theater in Skokie. Those are great.
Mm.
See
Shout
movies when I can.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, you know, it's hard when you work till 7 o'clock to go to movies during the week or something, but...
That's right. That's right. You can listen to Kim.
Yeah.
Is it 3 to 7?
3 to 7.
3 to 7 every day. When you see theater today, what's one kind of show that you're like, I need to go and see that show?
I'm dying to see the Elton John movie. I've not seen that.
Oh,
and I'm also dying to see Yesterday about the Beatles music.
Oh, you know, I love that in every way, shape, and form. Because that Yesterday movie, and I'm not giving too much away here, but... It's like a perfect feel-good movie. You're not asking for too much. All I wanted was just to see a
Don't you think
movie.
That's going to turn into a Broadway show? I feel like it's
Ooh.
Got the makings of it. I haven't seen
That'd
it yet, but just all that Beatles music.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Have you seen Love in Las Vegas yet?
No.
Oh, that you would love that one, too. Like, no pun intended.
I'm a real rom-com kind of girl.
Rom-com?
Oh, yeah. I love them.
What's your favorite movie? Is it rom-com-based?
Oh, yeah. Notting Hill.
Notting Hill. That's,
love Notting Hill.
That is like the antithesis of the rom com.
Yeah, well, it's a great. I don't know. I love Notting Hill.
Is that Hugh? What's his name? The guy from the 90s?
Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant. Yes.
Yes.
I was thinking Hugh Laurie for some.
I mean, I love I love Pretty Woman. I love Julie Roberts, and I love like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously, I love serious movies and. Going to heavy movies too, but just if I want to just turn something on just to like escape and just think about nothing and have fun, I'll get a rom-com.
I love it. Let's go into the next song, Superheroes. There's a lot of superhero movies out there.
Lots.
You know, you mentioned...
Which I'm not really into, I have to say.
That's the one movie that I can't really connect with because it takes so much time and they're just... I don't know. I think I'm too old to see them nowadays. But you did mention that you really wanted to see the Elton John movie.
Yes.
They're coming out with all these rock biopic movies
yes.
now. Elton John, there's
I didn't see the Freddie Mercury Queen
that's
movie.
That's it, Bohemian Rhapsody.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't?
No. But I heard it's great.
Yeah, it's like
it just wasn't my type of genre in movie, so I don't know that much about him, which I, you know, I've seen Elton John in concert several times, and so, and I just love his music, and...
Yeah, he's amazing, and that movie was really good. And Taron Egerton? Whoever the guy is who plays him, I'm saying his name wrong.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
But he's an amazing actor. He was in The Kingsman. He does a great job as Elton John. And you wouldn't think he would. He did the teeth thing. He kind of looked like him, gained a couple pounds. I love Elton John, too, by the way. I've seen him a few times with Billy Joel.
Me, too.
Oh, did you go to the Wrigley show?
I saw him before that. I saw him in Louisville with Elton John and Billy Joel together.
Man, what a great show.
I know, but I have seen Billy Joel at Wrigley.
Oh, see, that's it's so awesome to see.
Actually, I've seen him there twice.
Wow, now you're bragging.
Yeah, I am. Sorry. Humble brag.
I'm just joking. Yeah, because he's one of the greatest performers of all time. I mean, hit after hit after hit. But we were talking about, like, the biopic movies. What do you think about those? Do you think, is it a good thing that we're creating
these? I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love learning things about other people and seeing the way, you know, how somebody... what their backstory is.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about news is like you just love getting backstories and figuring out how things came to be and what happened. And I think that's why I like those kind of movies so much.
What was your, like, you've done so many news stories, thousands and thousands.
Oh, gosh.
What was like your like one shining piece, like that you're really proud of, the work that you did?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think I have to go back to when I worked in Louisville and my coverage of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the day. I just still get goosebumps thinking about it.
Were you in the newsroom during that time?
I was in the newsroom, actually. All right, humble brag. We used to do these teases before we would do our newscast and say what was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so... the Smithsonian put together a documentary about 9/11 and how life was normal, and then all of a sudden, life changed forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so my news tease is in that Smithsonian documentary showing how, like, everybody's life was just going on as normal. And then 10 minutes later, the world turned upside down.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah. So
your voice is in the Smithsonian.
It is. It's so cool. I never, That's and I didn't awesome. Even know a thing about it. A mm-hmm. friend of mine who I used to work with must have been watching the documentary and said, you know, you need to see this. You're in this documentary, mm-hmm. which was pretty cool.
Man.
Yeah.
That is so incredible.
But going back to 9/11, I think the thing for me journalistically that was mm-hmm. amazing was I was sent to the Louisville airport and they were landing planes there and people getting off the planes had no idea what had happened or mm-hmm. what was going on. And they were asking us what had happened because they didn't know. And I met this man, and this is like one of those stories. I always talk about it all the time because it's one of those unsolved mysteries of mm-hmm. my news career. This man had gotten off a plane. I think he was coming from Florida or somewhere, and they landed in Louisville. But his brother-in-law worked at Cantor Fitzgerald, and I don't know if you remember, but that was the investment firm that lost lots and lots of employees in the tower.
Okay.
And he was trying to get a hold of his brother-in-law and couldn't. So to this day, I don't know if this man's brother-in-law survived or didn't. I don't know.
Wow.
And it's one of those things that just always kind of haunts me. Like, what happened? I mean, you know, because I was able to actually have a personal touch on that,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, and I'd like to know the end of the story, and I'm hoping it's a happy ending, but I don't know.
Yeah, man. Well, let's hope that it is a happy
let's
ending.
Let's hope it
but
is.
But you know what? It's such an important role that you play in people's lives, and now you see that
yeah.
it legitimately affects people's lives,
yeah,
the things that you say.
It was crazy. And then I just saw the outpouring. From the airport, then, you know, people didn't know the severity of the situation or that there were so many people who had passed away. And they sent me to a blood bank because people were just lining up by the hundreds to give blood.
Wow.
And you just saw, that day I saw absolute the worst in humanity and the best in humanity. Mm. And it's just something I'll never forget.
Yeah. You know, that's the one thing I really admire about you. And I think that anyone who works here at WGN would say the same thing. The fact that you put a lot of patience and professionalism into your journalism.
We try to be fair. You know, we try to be accurate. We try to do it all right.
Yeah.
And
listeners sometimes text in and say differently, but
I know, you know, you're never going to please everybody. We know that, but mm-hmm. we're trying to do the best we can.
So what goes through your head when you're like looking at a news story and you see all this, like this river of news that kind of you say, okay, this is a story that needs to be investigated a little bit more or is spoken on air?
Well, you know, my thinking about that has actually changed recently. We just had a all station meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And our boss, Todd Manley, said, when you're thinking about doing news, think to yourself, am I making Chicago smarter?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what runs through my head now. Like, am I giving a story to people that's going to make them smarter about Chicago, be able to make better decisions on the place where they live? How's mm-hmm. it going to affect them? I think that's really important. But also, you know, people want to know, especially this day and age, you can get news so quickly. So it's important to get the news out so people know that we're on top of it and we're mm-hmm. covering things. But it's also important to be accurate and make sure that we have the facts right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we do really work hard on that.
Mm-hmm. So wall-to-wall Chance the Snapper is what you're telling me.
Absolutely, wall-to-wall Chance the Snapper. That was my favorite story of the summer so far. It's been fantastic. It just, you know, it brought everybody together, and sometimes you just need that.
Yeah, you do. Like, it's funny how that kind of stuff just naturally just grows. Like, it's
yeah.
Chewbacca mom all over again.
Yeah,
it's like,
you
oh,
love
yeah.
that.
Yeah. That's the great line that you draw because when you were reporting things that are so heavy, I mean, today we had, I'm dating the podcast a little bit, but the Mueller report,
right.
And the testimony today, and then being like, all right, so what else can we add that isn't, you know, the same stuff that you've heard over and over again?
Right.
What is it, when you're diving into these news stories, what's the, is there like one news story that, I think you spoke about this with Andrea, but like that kind of just got away from you when you're just like, the people aren't talking, or I can't dive into it anymore. It's already been, you know, kind of cracked. That you would have loved to, you know, really just sink your teeth into a little bit more.
Hmm. That's a good one. I don't know. I mean, you mean a story that I was trying to follow and couldn't get the interviews or couldn't get the...
Yeah, like if there was a story that like you would have loved to, you know, find out why this politician, you know, dropped out and then they didn't do or something like something along those lines, I suppose.
Well, I think I did talk about that with Andrea. The Tinley Park murders is also one of those that is just hanging out there for me because I was covering that day. And why haven't they caught that person?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He murdered all those women in that store. It wasn't just in a remote place where nobody saw anything. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that sometimes the news never stops. I'm sure that there's times when you're like, I wish I could just turn off my brain, but I got to see, you know, what's going on behind these stories and stuff like that.
I kind of try to on the weekends. I keep abreast of what's going on, but mm-hmm. I kind of try to like take a little breath. And
do you turn off your phone? Do you meditate?
No, not that far. I just don't check my email as much. No, I mean, I still have Twitter giving me alerts. Are you kidding? Can't go that far.
Not a cave woman. What's going on?
Yeah, no.
Let's dive into the last song real quick. Thanks again for joining us on the podcast
today.
This
is so fun. Thank you for having me.
So this is just a little reprise of the science fiction double feature. And we're going to dive into the last three questions that I ask on every podcast. Quickly, because I know you're short on time.
I am. I got to go do my... write my newscast for Bill and Wendy for the stream.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Favorite go-to karaoke song from Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Touch Me.
If you could sit down with any cast member, let's just say say the lead, like Tim Curry, what question would you ask him?
I wanted to ask Susan Sarandon, why did you do this?
That's a great question.
You know?
All right, and then finally, have you ever tried to reach out? Do you have any contact with any of the actors or the songwriters of this?
No, but if they want to call us, we'll figure out a news story for sure.
Kim, thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you.
Where can we find your stuff?
Kay Gordon at WGNradio.com, or I'm on Twitter at KG Frankenthal.
And she's on Twitter all the time, by the way, even on the weekends.
Yes.
Kim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
One Dame, One Dude, and One Disc.
There we go.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.